Very good. That was Hikawai Hornpipe live in the studio. Keith McMillan on mandolin and myself on playing some rhythm guitar. Thanks, Keith. That's really great.
That was very good. You must know the chords.
I found them. I asked Keith what he'd like to hear played on the show, and he mentioned an Alison Krauss song.
Yeah, I lost this. I think it's a set of three CDs, the Rounder Bluegrass collection. Or back in the late 80s, I must have found it. And me and another guy had started a bluegrass band in Hamilton called the Mystery Creek Bluegrass Company. And we were looking for material, and I found this track of a very early Alison Krauss. She must have been a teenager. And what a fantastic song.
Brilliant song. So I dug it out of the archives, and Alison's doing fiddle and vocals. Tony Trischka is playing banjo on it. Sam Bush is playing mandolin. Roy Husky's playing bass. Lonnie Meeker is playing guitar. And Dave Denman is doing the harmony vocals. So it's way before the days of Alison Krauss and Union Station.
Yes.
So this is just the young teenage girl, the fiddle player who got to sing lead in the song.
yeah, and look where she finished up.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Let's hear some Alison Krauss. Alison Krauss and Too Late to Cry. You're listening to Back Porch Bluegrass. I'm your host, Paul Trenwith, and I have Keith McMillan in the studio with me, and we're talking about setting up your instruments. And we've just been talking about mandolin, and I have here a guitar, Keith. It's a 1965 D21.
A mighty fine guitar it is, too.
Yes, it's had a fairly ordinary life. Oh, I've travelled a bit and it's been around Australia and been around New Zealand. It's got big waterways in the front. I joke, so I say some people have a cutaway. I've got a waterway.
Why, I do believe this has had a new fingerboard at some point, Paul.
Several years ago, I took it to Keith for some attention and he looked at the fingerboard and he said, that's a road that's got far too many potholes in it and we need to do some major work on that. So he gave me back the fingerboard that was on it and put a new rosewood fingerboard on, I think, because that's not a mahogany, is it?
No, rosewood.
It's a rosewood on the yeah. D21. And I have the other one at home, the other fingerboard at home in my studio, and I think I actually wore it as a tie once to a, to a gathering, you know, because...
Which reminds me that Paul actually had the very excellent idea when we were contemplating doing this job that if only the fingerboard was about a millimetre wider, the whole guitar would be a lot nicer to play. And so we did that. We cribbed an extra millimetre of width out of the fingerboard by not quite rounding it off as abruptly as the old one.
Yeah. It made a big difference for me.
It did make a big difference. And, in fact, Martin make a lot of guitars now that have a neck just a 1/16 of an inch.
Yeah, my fingers are just, they're not particularly big, but they just seem to struggle to get nice notes out of the guitar when the strings were in the usual proximity.
So this guitar is a good case in point, really. Everything about it is adjusted perfectly. The shape of the neck is ideal, even though this Martin is before they started putting adjustable truss rods in Martin guitars, but it's perfect. The nut is perfect. The one thing that's not perfect is the strings are a little higher than you'd want, perhaps, for, you know, medium to gentle playing. But on the other hand, if you really wanted to play this thing loud, the strings are at the perfect height.
It does respond. My son Sam borrows a guitar every now and then, and he hits fairly hard, and he quite likes the higher action, despite the fact that he's used to a lower action. He quite likes the fact that he can hit it loud and still get a good chord.
Which brings to mind, I mentioned before, you know, I have these kind of numbers in my head that are a guide to the string height. It would probably be quite useful if I said what they were. So in the case of a mandolin, under the E string at the 12th fret, I can get away with a 16th of an inch or, you know, 1.6 millimetres. I think in inches on guitars and mandolins, and I think in millimetres on violins. and a little higher than that, perhaps 3/32 of an inch or you know, 1.82 millimetres under the G string, and that's probably lower than most mandolins that you'd walk into a store and find. But almost anyone can get away with an action that low unless they play really, really, really heavily.
Which isn't really most of the people that we know.
No, you don't really need to play instruments all that heavily unless you're in an unamplified situation, and let's face it, microphones and PA systems are everywhere, and we're generally either plugged in or we're near a microphone, and you can back off. In fact, I'm constantly trying to back my own playing off. I've got into the habit of overplaying.
Me too.
I find it hard to be reasonable.
Yes, it is very hard. It is very hard to sort of back off your playing and play slightly more gently.
And in the case of a steel string guitar, you know, for a medium sort of a player or a finger style player, once all the other adjustments are correct, once again, I'd like to see about a 16th of an inch between the top of the 12th fret and the bottom of the high E string. And perhaps 3/32 of an inch or just a touch under. Under the bass string. And if that's a bit rattly, we can make it a little higher. But most people can get away with that and still play perfectly cleanly.
How much of a difference does the thickness of the string, you know, whether they're light or medium or heavy strings, make
it does
to
make,
the feel?
Makes a little difference. Interestingly, lighter strings vibrate more, and you can't get away with quite as low an action if you're playing loudly. But of course, often lighter strings implies that you're a more gentle player.
Yes.
Too.
Yeah.
It doesn't make very much difference, but it's something else to take into account.
Right. With that guitar, it's got a very battered and aged looking front where it's got worn patches each end of the finger of the scratch board, you know.
Pick guard.
Yeah, yep. The pick guard. And it's got a beautiful grain in it around the sides that's very nice and looks good, but it certainly looks like a 50-year-old guitar.
Yeah, the wood that they used for these guitars was Brazilian rosewood, which had a very, very distinctive figure to it, wasn't it, Paul?
Yeah, lovely.
Paul
lovely.
Went into the Martin factory and they remembered these guitars.
Yes, they said, oh, you've got one of those. You know, that was quite cool. Now, when you're moving it around in the light, I can see that the top is sort of got a bulge in it between the saddle and the bottom end of the guitar, where the strings have pulled and pulled and pulled for 50 years.
Yep.
Is that bad or good?
I guess in a perfect world, you wouldn't want much of that. It's called belly. But this is...
Oh, yeah. I got one of those too.
This is pretty reasonable. And you know, in fact, all guitars have a certain amount of pull at that point, because if they didn't, they would have been built too strongly and consequently wouldn't actually sound as good as they should. A little bit of belly is perfectly good if it's too much. And if you know, we were to put a straight edge across the guitar behind the bridge, you know, anything in the region of 2 to 3 millimetres of belly would be perfectly normal. If you had 5 millimetres, you might be getting concerned.
Right, okay. And as long as it's holding all around the sides and everything, it's okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so if I brought my guitar into you, you'd look at it and say...
Well, at some point in the life of a guitar, they will need, and we're talking, you know, 50 or 60 or 75 years old, they might need a neck reset, which involves removing the neck from the body and changing the angle back to where it started from all those years before, and then gluing it back together. And it's an expensive job. And, you know, this guitar sort of needs it to get a nice low action again.
Yes.
But it is an expensive job.
Well, the kid that gets that guitar, he can pay for that.
Yeah.
So in terms of feel, would you hit a chord on that, and does it feel like it's about right to you, or...?
It's perfect for a bluegrass guitar, shall we say.
Yeah.
If you were using this for folk music and you were playing, you know... If you were playing that sort of stuff, you'd probably find it had a little bit too tough of an action. And one option would be simply to put slightly lighter strings on it.
Yes.
These are what's called light gauge, or 12 to 54 thousandths of an inch.
Yeah.
You could go one step down.
Go to
11.
And
that would transform it.
Yes.
For that kind of playing, but that's not what you do.
From here, those strings are looking pretty old.
No, they sound good.
Yeah. So, well, that's good. Well, I heartily recommend finding someone like Keith in your area to fix up your guitar. Of course, if you're in New Zealand, you can send it to. Where's your shop?
It's in Frankton and Hamilton. Google me, you'll find it.
Yeah, and There's a constant stream of guitars, electric guitars, acoustic guitars, and things coming in and out for repair. And Keith did a job on my Gibson Bastertone banjo because the strap let go when I was standing over a hard floor and it dropped to the floor and the headstock broke off. Well, I still can't find out where that headstock break is.
And no, we had the banjo in my workshop a couple of weeks ago, and I had another look with a good strong light and an ultraviolet light.
Yeah.
And honestly, I could not find where that had broken.
No, me neither.
I think Paul swapped the banjo.
yes. And so Keith does amazing work in Hamilton, and I think every musician in Hamilton gets a guitar set up by Keith at some point in time, or a instrument set up.
Of course, there are plenty of other people like me around the country and around Hamilton. And,
there are.
And everyone's good.
Yeah. And you have your own ideas about what works, and it's really just making the instrument as playable as you can so you have as much enjoyment out of it as you possibly can.
The trick is to work out what the customer wants, what the player wants, because it's no good setting it up like I think. Yeah. I've got to find out what they think.
Yeah.
So that's the object of the exercise to me.
Yeah. Well, how about we play another tune? We'll just sort out a tune and get right back to you.
Are these expensive mics? Or just
probably. Yeah. You're listening to Back Porch Bluegrass with myself, Paul Trenwith, and guest Keith McMillan, and we're talking mandolins and guitars, and we had a little discussion, and I asked if Keith could remember that tune Over the Waterfall, and after a little bit of tooing around on his mandolin,
we found it.
We found that, something about a waterfall there. I'm playing my Martin guitar with a thumb pick on, which I do these days because I'm getting clumsier as I get older, and I find that I can get a perfectly adequate rhythm using a thumb pick and a finger flick, a bit like a Carter family lick. My flat picking is getting pretty dodgy.
For all you mandolin nuts out there, and I know there are some of
yes.
you, I'm using a blue chip pick. Google them if you're interested. They're tremendously hard, but fantastic tone, not cheap, but they're worth it. I'm using slightly heavier than normal strings. These are 11 is the gauge of the thinnest string, and they're elixir strings, which I personally really like on mandolin.
Right.
It's set up reasonably low.
Let's have a go at Over the Waterfall. Over the Waterfall, live from Free FM 89.0 in Hamilton, New Zealand, as part of the Back Porch Bluegrass Show. Keith, it's been really good having on the show. I'm absolutely delighted to have being able to share you with all the people who are listening into Back Porch Bluegrass. So I know there's plenty of them out there who are playing guitars and mandolins. We might have a workshop on banjo one day, but that might have to be R21 or something like that. Banjos are pretty serious stuff.
Yeah, and you know, just remember there are plenty of people like me out there in the world. You know, they're easy to find once you start looking. The important thing is to have a good talk with them before anything else happens, to make sure you're on the same page.
Yeah, good comment. Very good. We've got another track here that we can play for you. You asked about a track called Home Sweet Home Revisited. And I hunted through the archives and came up with J.D. Crowe and the New South. That's the one that you expected?
I think it is. We're talking, you know, a few years ago now.
This was recorded January 1975. And J.D. Crowe's banjo and baritone, Tony Rice on guitar and lead vocals, Ricky Skaggs on mandolin, fiddle and tenor, Bobby Sloan on bass and Jerry Douglas on dobro. I'm pretty sure that's a version that you wanted to hear.
Yep, I'm pretty sure it's going to be good.
Let's have a listen to J.D. Crowe in the New South, Home Sweet Home Revisited.
The old hometown is sure in trouble. It looks like it must have doubled in sin and size since I've been gone. The paper's all full of killing. 2 million people willing to die for something they've never known. The city streets of drunks and junk and stone. A heaven made of hell they call their home. Now it's gone like the life of a child when it turns its back on your mind. Tomorrow has no home, sweet home. Look what they've done to mine. It just faded into time. That I've kept the way it always was. And ever since he died, it just won't run. I always knew I was his favorite one. Now it's gone like the life of a child when it turns its back on your mind. Like every other one along the block. It took 20 years to pay and 10 to run. Dad says it's all just better off for God. Now it's gone like the life of a child when it turns its back on your mind. Tomorrow has no sweet home, look what they've done to mine. It just faded into time.
Great song.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, they do well, don't they? Keith writes the occasional mandolin tune, and he actually wrote a song which we recorded as part of the Hamilton County album in 2016. We put out an album called These Old Hands, and on it was a song called U-Turn that we decided to do.
Yeah, I wrote the song after constantly believing the GPS on my motorbike and, and getting horribly lost. and I kind of wrote a song about how you don't want to believe everything you hear.
Yes, yeah. Yes, and you're making a U-turn. And it's I like that concept of having a physical situation but then turning it around so it becomes a modus operandi, really.
Yes.
And anyway, we did this, Alan Rhodes singing lead, and I don't think, did you get to sing baritone?
I think I've got a part in there somewhere.
Yeah, and so this is Hamilton County Bluegrass Band from the album These Old Hands, a song called U-Turn.
Just a minute later, a voice that I hate, U-turn, when possible, U-turn, not possible, U-turn, could be rough, might be whiny, but I'll go ahead anyway. And I'm tempted, it could be wrong. I do it, looks better going blissfully. A voice in my ear from somebody near. U-turn, when possible, U-turn, not possible. U-turn, could be rough, might be whiny, but I'll go ahead anyway. We all need someone with good advice, easier and smoother to get somewhere nice. But I'll just ignore it, I don't know why. Don't mind where I'm going, just enjoy the ride.
Well, how about that? Pretty good mandolin break in there.
Not bad.
I bet you couldn't do it now. you'd have to study up on it.
Yes, I would.
Yeah, it's still those GPSs, they tell you off when you go past the turn-off and, you know, tell you when to turn around. Oh, they've got no idea of...
They're terrible things. You can't trust them.
But they're good fun. Good fun. You're listening to Back Porch Bluegrass. Big hello to all the people listening on access radio stations throughout New Zealand and throughout Canada and on Bluegrass Planet Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. And all those people who are picking it up on a podcast, I hope you've enjoyed... today's show. It's been a bit different having a luthier in here talking about the instruments, but they're pretty important to us bluegrassers. We're sponsored by Shearer's Music Works in Hamilton. They sell lots of musical instruments and they've been promoting music in Hamilton for more than 50 years. Go and see them and you can get your instrument from them and take it around to Keith. He'll make sure it's set up properly and they work together pretty well here. So time to say goodbye. I think we'll take it out with a tune from the Dreadful Snakes.
Who's that?
Yo, this is Black Tai Chi, the mic conductor, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in B, baby, B.